Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Mark Higgins. I'm your host tonight, and we will be continuing to focus on the Kyle Rittenhouse case as well as the surge of violence in America that we've all witnessed. We'll also be discussing COVID in our community and the spike within the minority community since the reopening of America and the new school year. We'll also be discussing the infrastructure bill and what it means to the minority community, the Black community, and the Latinx community. all these and more, I should say. We will be discussing many more topics tonight. And we have a lot to tackle. But before we go any further, let's get the particulars out of the way, not to minimize the importance. But once again, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. If you would like to become a member of our party, you can reach us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Please leave your contact information, particularly your name and a number where you can be reached, as well as your email. But we'll obviously see your email once you do. And someone will get back to you expediently, I assure you. Again, that is thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Just leave your contact information and someone will get back to you expediently, I promise you. Again, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. This is Tuesday, November 23rd, year of our Lord, 2021. And tonight, as I mentioned earlier, we will be discussing a litany of subjects, but most importantly, current events in the news that are overwhelming and hard to ignore. So with that said, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I see I have a bevy of guests waiting, and I can ask you, if I could please ask you to be patient. I just want to get through this first segment before I open up the phone lines. Again, as a reminder, if you've been following the show, and I see y'all out there, I know my people, and if you've been following the show, you understand the rules. We do practice the Robert's Rule of Order here in the Empowerment Zone, which simply means that we want to create fluid dialogue. And again, this show is solution-oriented, and we want to create fluid dialogue and a respectable atmosphere where as to not step on anyone's toes, kind and respectful to the other guests that call in. So when I say that we practice the Robert's Rule of Order, what that means is simply when you're done with your comment, perspective, question, or whatever you choose to discuss, imparting us with whatever you have to say, just simply yield your time when you're done. It's that simple. And those are pretty much the only rules in the Empowerment Zone. So once again, welcome. We have a lot to tackle tonight. There's a litany of current events that, again, must not be ignored. We have we have so much to discuss in only 2 hours, roughly. So I want to get in as much as possible. I want to get your input, because I want to pose to my listening audience, and I really want some feedback as to, I mean, I really want your personal perspective as to get a gauge on what our community at large is feeling. And as far as that is concerned, what we must do. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. This show is essentially the five premises of this show. There's five premises of this show that we stand by. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One is financial responsibility. Two is activism. Three is being proactive, proactiveness. Four is preparedness. When I say preparedness, I mean being prepared for the next level of shit that they're dropping on us, that we are clearly not prepared for as a nation, as a community, as people. We're clearly not prepared for. And the other premise, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the premise of being kind. And I mean that in the most genuine way. Because, again, this show is solution-oriented. And, again, if you've been following the show over the last year and a half, you know that we can really get heated in this zone, and we can progress. We can come together collectively and bring ideas to the table. And that's what this platform is all about. So again, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I see I have a bevy of callers, and I want to I really want to open up the mics, but again, I want to preface this particular episode with the knowledge that we're going to focus on these two cases in Wisconsin and the ripple effects there within that we will see in the coming days, just how significant this ripple effect is on these particular cases. And I'm speaking of the Kyle Rittenhouse case as well as the Ahmaud Arbery case in Georgia, where the jury is now deliberating after the closing arguments. I also want to focus on the contrast of these two cases and the perception therein. And I'm going to use a number of examples to point out the contrast, the prejudices, and the perceptions in these two particular cases. And again, I'm going to use examples. And so if you please bear with me, with these examples that I will lay out to you, you will see how this all meshes together, and we can see clearly after I give you these examples, you will see clearly how vast the contrast is and how it's pretty much perceived as injustice as well as justice for some, injustice for most. How about that? Again, tonight we are focusing on these two particular cases as well as COVID-19 in our community and the spike within the minority community since the onset. Since the onset of the pandemic, and I'm using the onset or outset of the pandemic specifically for statistical purposes and also to make my point and to bring awareness to these issues that must be addressed. Because again, we cannot go anywhere as a people. We cannot, as Brother Melvin in the Big Picture always says, we cannot unite until we address certain issues. And what we're talking about tonight, what's on the table tonight, I feel must be addressed, can no longer be ignored, and we have to continue to press on and make these issues bring much more awareness to these issues that have been highly ignored. So with that said, tonight we'll be discussing the two cases in Wisconsin and Georgia and the ripple effect, as well as the surge of violence. And I hate to throw a scapegoat into this, but I'm going to use another example. which is Trump's influence in the surge of violence since the onset or, again, outset of the pandemic. And, I'm using, let's just say, November, or rather a year ago. We're going to use that as a starting point for a lot of these statistics that I'm going to bring to you. Also, in the following segments, we're going to discuss the Travis Scott concert tragedy and history of concert tragedies. And I'm going to meld into the subject of the contrast in justice with, I'm going to meld into these with the Travis Scott and the other concert tragedies and the vast justices and injustices that occur. Again, the number to reach us is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1. If you'd like to speak, you'll be entered into the host queue. If you would like to make a comment, ask questions, whatever, contribute to the show, just press 1 or not, and you can just listen. But I really want some feedback, again, as to gauge to what degree we care. And again, we practice the Robert's Rule of Order in the Empowerment Zone. Just be kind and respectful to the other callers. And I know you've been waiting. Now, I would be remiss. I'm so sorry. I'm going to open up the mics in a moment. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention, first of all, I want to say rest in power and peace to all the souls lost this week to senseless violence. I want to say rest in power and peace to Malika Shabazz. We lost Mother Sister Shabazz was Malcolm X's daughter, oldest twin daughter. She was 56 years old. From what I understand, there's no foul play suspected. I also understand that she had been ill for quite some time, and unfortunately she succumbed to her illness. And I want to send my deepest condolences to the family for this tragic loss. I understand her daughter went to her apartment and found her dead this weekend, and it's so tragic that this family has suffered so much tragedy. This family brought so much to the table and this family made such an impact on all of us. Cannot be ignored. So again, rest in peace, Mother Sister Malika Shabazz. I also want to remind everyone that here in the Empowerment Zone, we recognize Blackout Tuesday. And if you've been following this show, because I know you have, you understand what Blackout Tuesday means. It simply means that we patronize black business, black and minority businesses. Unfortunately, here's a sad statistic. 2.6 black-owned businesses in the United States. 2.5 have a sole employee, meaning don't have any employees. So that's 100,000 black-owned businesses that have employees. That means the remaining two 2.5 million are the guys that do auto repair or paint houses or a litany of other services by themselves with no employees. That has to change. So with that said, again, this is Black Tuesday. We practice boycotting everything with the exception of minority-owned businesses on this day, Blackout Tuesday. And with that said, as a reminder, instead of using the ugly term Black Friday the day after Thanksgiving, we're going to refer to the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to continue to promote and patronize minority-owned businesses the day after Thanksgiving. I know we don't produce a whole lot. We don't manufacture much of anything. However, 95% of the Black-owned businesses are retail. So please, I beseech you, patronize minority-owned businesses on Tuesdays, particularly on Tuesdays, as well as the day after Thanksgiving. And I know you got to pay your bills, you got to pay car note and all that. Nobody's saying to ignore that. Not saying boycott everything. You got to pay your bills. I get that. I'm just saying, please support minority businesses. It's that simple. Now, with that said, I'm going to open up the mics. Hopefully you will be able, clarity as to what's going on. I know we got a lot to tackle tonight and we don't have a whole lot of time. But again, you know the subject matter tonight and there's a lot to address. So let's go. I'm going to open up mic for area code 773-6872. Your mic is open. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Am I on?
Welcome, brother man. What can I do for you?
Man, let me tell you something. Listening to you has gotten me all jacked up tonight because I just finished having a conversation with my wife about why we moved here to the South from Chicago. You know, the migration after the Civil War was the opposite, which was why my father's grandfather took them along with their grandmothers and others who needed some kind of way to succeed in life after the 13th Amendment, led them to Chicago, man, and it was very promising. It was very wonderful. I grew up for 33 years in Chicago, only fearing my Black brothers and sisters who were gangbangers or drug dealers and who I had to run from in the streets, from the low end, and et cetera. And now I'm sitting here in the South, 7 years later, recognizing whatever affluence I have, whatever liberties I have, I am still that brother that they see with their vigilante thought processes and stereotypes, no matter what degrees I have, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure your listeners and everyone else knows this scenario very well. But as it has
Absolutely.
To do with Ahmaud Arbery and this Rittenhouse case, is the same. It's singular. It is a symptom of society where I can't even have hate for white people in this country. For 500 years, they have looked at us, African Americans, as subhuman without being on the same token level or whatever shared platform. Financially, economically, we are radically different in that. We have been seen as lesser. And so the vigilante white reform, which has come out more pronounced since former President Trump, is of no surprise, because most people don't even say they're a champion of black music or the entertainment world. That's mostly what we've been able to do. But when I listen to the rap music from 30 years ago, and I listen to America's Most Wanted and hear Ice Cube saying everything that's going on based on
now, yes,
the crimes that were reported then against blacks, being beaten by cops, being shot in the streets by whites, it's the same thing we're consistently riddled with. But I have to say, it's this vigilante thought process that makes whites in this country feel as if they are inculcated. We're okay. This has been passed down to us like mice in a maze being measured by the scientist. They know whether or not they've experienced racial injustice or any other thing. They've had it in them to recognize that genetically there's something wrong with the picture here in the United States with blacks. They don't belong here. We do. And so with that ignorance, with that feeling of acceptance and privilege, they go about things of this nature. And it's consistent, and it's always being looked at as negative. Well, I'm here to tell you, brother, I'm looking at it with a different lens. My lenticular view is showing me that the whites in this country, we can't blame them. They're not learning anything different from what we're learning. They're not listening to the history. They're not reading the annals of the 1900s and the 1800s when lynching was started and when it was in the West and then migrated South and it was utilized in a vengeance against black lives and was done in such a perpetuation to dictate what needed to happen to blacks when there was in lieu of a police officer or another force, took matters in their own hands because they looked at us as lesser, and they continue to look at us as lesser today. And we, unfortunately, look at ourselves the same way because we read the same erroneous history book without understanding.
To cut you off, but they've had and still they're operating on the same autonomy that they've always had. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but I need to say that.
No, that's fine, because that's exactly right. And it's always been, and it will always be. Unfortunately, we needed to get on that Black Star liner with Marcus Garvey and head back to Africa, brother. I do not see any future for African-Americans here in this country looking for something from whites for validation. Either we create our own, like you said earlier in the broadcast, through financial empowerment, through looking at one another for economic and, you know, political empowerment, doing things together. That's the only way we're going to succeed, brother. And I'll leave you with that. Thank you for taking my call.
Right on, brother. That was so right on point. You know, you have love the way you have the ability to surmise a situation and your ability to answer a question without articulately as you do, man. And I'm not saying that that's a surprise or anything, but I just appreciate I'm simply saying that I appreciate the way you answer and address the question so pertinently. And thank you for your input, Chicago. I'm going to open up the mics for the next guest that's been waiting so patiently. I appreciate you. Stay on board, if you will, please, South Carolina. I'm going to open up the mics in the next segment so everyone can chime in. But and meanwhile, not 5245 is on the line. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. Peace to you, brother.
Are you speaking to me, Mark?
I am.
Oh, good evening. It's good to be
Welcome.
Back on your show. And there's so much to be said and has been said about various situations in Wisconsin which is another country that I'm glad to say. And there's a reflection of all 48 states, and not Alaska or Hawaii, but it seems that Mr. Trump has placed his hands, his dirty hands, in a lot of people's minds, mind control, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a guy, William Gladstone, Prime Minister of England, Justice Deferred, who stated Justice Deferred is
justice denied,
or the other way around. And this was in 1800s.
Yeah, you said it right.
And this is this has been going on. The young brother before me said that this has been going on since Marcus Garvey waged Back to Africa movement. But there are just as many people, African Americans here, said that we fought and bled for this country, and we fought too hard to give this up. And I'm in a juxtaposition to agree with both of them, both sides. We belong here.
If I might ask, what degree?
We were the only people who came here involuntarily.
Sure.
Other people, I mean, I read somewhere that the Irish didn't know that they were white until they signed up for the Civil War, you see, because the Irish always had their fight with the United Kingdom, the English. And the English
Correct.
Treated them so badly, they treated them as though they were
They were the niggas of Europe.
Yeah. I mean, what's his name in history that says, Tammany Hall says, if they offer niggers 5 cents an hour, then you don't go below that or above it, because that's if it's good enough for niggers, it's not good enough for Irish, you know? So the thing is, we've been, as the young fellow said earlier, we've been underlings crawling on our bellies for years, and it's about time that we wake up. The only thing I disagree with the young fellow is that there are black books that we have read. You know, I could mention one just recently. My wife bought this for me, that Christopher Columbus and the African Holocaust, Slavery, and the Rise of European Capitalism. This tells us why we've been placed in this position and how we can get out of it. The author's name was John Henrik Clark, one of my professors.
Rest in peace, Dr. Clark.
Dr. Clark.
And with that said, rest in peace, Dr. Sebi, as well.
Well, I can name you many, many books, because I studied history with the fervent of situations that I really liked, and that's why I became a political science and a social science teacher. And it has treated me well to know of myself that others try to put down who it's a lie, number one, because that's why they want to fervently insert CRT, CTR, and in our schools, and teach everybody a different way that we arrive at this point. And I totally disagree with It's like Jim Crow rewritten again.
Exactly. So, I agree 100%. But I want to ask you, sir, one thing that you mentioned earlier, it kind of stuck a red flag up for me when you mentioned Trump's influence in the ideology. I mean, it's something that you didn't mention, but was mentioned earlier by Brother Hassan about Trump's influence and how it has been. I just want to get your perspective as to where his influence and how much of it has been.
You know what, Mark?
So divisive. It's been described as divisive, but it's more than that. I think it's deeper than that. So I want to know from your perspective as an elder, and what you've seen politically over the years, and how this is unprecedented, and
this has started so long ago, Mark, way before I was born, and I'm 79 years old, soon to be 80. I'm a retired former teacher, and so is my wife. But this started so long ago. This started with the Black movement to the North and the Midwest, as well as California and areas of that way. Because this is where the jobs were prior to World War II, and so the Black movement from sharecropping in the South all the way up to let me give you some dates from 1919 to 1970. I would say that was the Black movement to the northwest and out of the South.
And, that's 50 years of migration.
Yes. And 50 years of progress, because without the progress that we made under trying conditions, everybody benefits.
You really believe that we progressed? Because in my opinion, we still under the same claw, and we haven't gone anywhere.
Yoke has not been removed, Mark.
It's indicative to the situation that we're under right now. We haven't gone anywhere.
Yes.
So I'm sorry to disagree with you, sir, but I firmly disagree that there's been any kind of progress.
Well, disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable, okay? We can disagree, but we don't have – and I respect your disagreeing with me as well as you can respect that. There has been a very, very thrust forward that we have done. There wouldn't have been a gas mask without Morgan. There wouldn't have been.
You know this. All of our accomplishments have been minimized and stolen.
There wouldn't have been the light bulb without
and whatnot. However, the notion that there has been any kind of progress is at a dubious best, minimal. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I understand your thrust on that part of our history, but well beyond your thrust of negativity in a sense, not that you wish this on us, but that negative part feeds into CTR or CRT or whatever that's called. They want to rewrite our history, but you can't rewrite the progress that this country has made with the gentleman who discovered things that Greek pain relievers. There's a school in Chicago named after him, all right, on the South Side. And he was a multimillionaire and wasn't even allowed to go to college in Mississippi. So his family moved him to Indiana, where he was admitted on a high school rate, and he discovered so many great things with pain killers and birth control.
Are you thinking of Dr. Percy? Are you thinking of Percy?
Percy L. Julian. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Quite familiar.
So
you cannot say,
were he not born, we wouldn't have been this far, you know. And he was an entrepreneur. He was a millionaire. And I just can't say enough. When I taught school, I had the privilege of teaching with his nephew, great young man. And he said, without my uncle, we would not have had painkillers, birth control, and things of that nature. You know, so
yeah, he had thousands of patents. I was just watching something on Percy L. Julian. In fact, there's the Oak Park Library has a bust of him in the park of the library. He contributed so much. Thank you, Professor Hassan. I want to get to the next caller that's been waiting so patiently. Thank you for your input.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to all of your good, well-intentioned people who are still waiting anxiously to get on the line. Thank you again, Mark.
Yeah.
Love you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give my deepest condolences to one of your contemporaries, Dr. Black, who recently passed away, Tamil Black.
Yes,
recently passed away.
Yes.
My deepest condolences, thoughts and prayers offered to him and his soul and his family. I should have said that in the opening. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of occasions. My kids went to school, and he was the head of the local the LSC at the time when my kids went to Kosminski on the South Side. So, rest in peace, Dr. Black. Thank you so much for all of your contributions to our people and to the world.
Timothy Black, yes.
Thank you, sir. I'm gonna open up the mic for area code 847. Your mic is open. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I think I know who this is.
Hello, my good friend Mark. How are you? It's Jerry Riles with the Rewind Sports 60. How are you,
Jerry? What a pleasure! What a pleasure to hear from you, man. You know, I was looking for you, man, the other day at Wrigley. Thought you'd be there.
Yeah. I didn't make it to that game. Northwestern Wildcats taking on the Purdue Boilermakers over at Wrigley Field, and unfortunately, the Cats weren't able to put it together. But it was my understanding. I had a few friends in the stands there, and it was a pretty adventurous outing. And to be in a location like that to play a football game dates back to when the Chicago Bears used to play over at the ballpark there. So it was, I understand, a lot of fun. Yeah, there you go, a lot of fun. Yeah. It was just a good opportunity to be outdoors and enjoy a football game. Mark?
Jerry? Yes.
Yeah.
That was a great day. I thought I lost you there for a second. That was a great day. And I was, I've been looking for you, man, for a while, but I thought I'd run into you at the UC or at least at Wrigley. And, you know, and I'm going to use this as a segue into the the COVID situation, you know, because of the way the stadiums are now, the new protocols and safety measures that they're using in the stadiums. But please, what do you have to offer tonight, Brother Riles?
Well, I just wanted to definitely come on board and thank you again for what you do in educating our people and enlightening our people and, you know, trying to find a solution to the struggles that we endure continuously day in and day out. And we talk about struggle, and definitely is a struggle, and we just have to continue to persevere, push through and fight through. And it's unfortunate that we have to go through the storm in order to get to the peace that we so desperately deserve. And we look at the situations that occurred up in, Kenosha, Wisconsin. We see what's going on down in Georgia. And we see what's happening in our communities, every single day. In the black and brown communities, and in particular on the south side of the city and the west side of the city. And sometimes I think we look and feel that there's no hope or salvation. But the one thing that I've learned is that no matter what struggles we may personally endure or go through as a people, nothing lasts forever. And you just have to continue to persevere, push through, and seek answers and solutions to the problems. And I think your platform offers that. And I'm very grateful and appreciative to be a guest on the show to talk with you about what's going on in our society today.
You know, Jerry, I've known you for close to, 25 years, and it's been, I've learned quite a bit from you in this business, being on the radio and back in the day with you and Jesse, you know, in the mornings, and I learned about producing, you remember Chef Ant. I know you remember my brother Chef Ant. May he rest in peace. He was, he loved you, man. We were back in the day. We did the Stumblers back with North and Jigs up on Belmont that one Saturday, man. That was a wild time.
Yeah.
And I just really want to, I just want to convey the knowledge and I want to thank you for everything that you've contributed, in our community and what you've done over the years, man. I see you out there, man. I know what you bring to the table, and you have a huge influence. You got all this wattage, and you take advantage of it. You use it to the best of your ability, and you've influenced so many people. And I'm not just saying me myself, but in your community and what you bring, I'm grateful for it. And again, thank you for giving me your time, your precious time, because I know how busy you are. Thanks for holding for so long and on the line. And I really, I'm so grateful, Jerry, and continue to do what you do. And I really appreciate your perspective on subject matter tonight, particularly the two cases in Georgia and Wisconsin that, again, cannot be ignored, and we have to use our platforms to bring awareness of you say the struggle, I say our plight, and I even look at it so negatively, as I was saying to Professor Hassan that. I don't want to sound negative. However, there's, the notion that we're progressing to this great degree is just that goddamn notion, and I can't subscribe to that. That's why I make it a point to bring awareness to all these things. And in the next segment, we're going to continue to address the surge of violence again, since the onset of the pandemic. And I really want to get your perspective on that, considering that you live in the Chicagoland area, brother, and you see what's going on. What everyone else around the country isn't aware of, you know, you see, you report the news. So before we go to a break, can I please get your perspective on the surge of violence?
Of course, it's disheartening and it's sad, and it's disappointing. But I also, in some aspects, in some regards, understand, and particularly with the young brothers and sisters who are out there, or maybe out there, committing these acts of violence. We as a people, over generations of oppression, reached a boiling point, in my perspective. And I think this generation is simply just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we've heard that expression and used that expression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've taken it to the point where no one's listening to us. Because I've had an opportunity pre-pandemic to talk to some young folks out on the street and ask them what the problem was, what the issue is, and they said that no one will listen to them. The police won't listen to them. Their family members, mother, father, uncle, whatever, won't listen to them. The authorities won't listen to them. So they don't have anyone who's really interested in listening to their pain, their plight, their struggles. And again, coming from their perspective, 15, 16, 17 years of age, they share with me that it's the only thing that we can do to get some attention. And if we act out, hence commit some criminal act or a violent act, then we get some attention and some focus. It may not be what we want and what, you know, mainstream society wants, but that's the only way we can get someone to pay attention to us. And that was a really, really tough thing for me to hear, because I have no solution for the young folks out there who are experiencing so much internal pain that they have to express it by ways of violence and criminal act. But I do believe in a higher power, and I do believe that nothing lasts forever, and we've got to go through some struggles in order to get to the promised land. And I think if we maintain that positive outlook, and it may sound elementary or trivial, but it's real. And at times, we just have to be still. We can't act chaotic. We can't go crazy. We can't run around. At some point in time, we just have to be still and let God do his will. But in the meantime, I think we have to take responsibility for our actions, who we are and what we're doing, and understand that there's a different way. It's a tough way and a challenging way, but there is a different way. And I believe in the profound statement, profound words that Dr. King shared in his famous speech, which are, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. And I think we as a people, despite everything that we see happening on the street corners and in the city, that we as a people will get to the promised land. And that's what I be still with, and I hang my hat on, and I carry my faith every day with that true belief.
Thank you, brother, for offering that profound perspective, brother. One thing I took out of what you just said was key to me when you said that we as a people have to take responsibility. What that means to me essentially is that we don't typically hold ourselves accountable. We judge each other. We judge each other so harshly, and yet we will not take responsibility or take on any accountability and use just about any excuse as justification for wrongdoing. And so when you said that, that threw up a proverbial red flag for me, and it made, you know, something you said earlier, something that Professor Hassan said earlier about being about self-awareness. And that's one of the things that we as a people lack, yet we are so quick to judge each other. We're so quick to, as the kids say, hate on each other for whatever gains that we have or whatever loss that we have. We're so quick to judge, so quick to condemn each other. And I think that that's a part of the Willie Lynch syndrome, and that's been a subject matter on these airwaves before, but I'm just using that as an example as to what you were just pointing out, Jerry. And again, thank you ever so much for imparting all the wisdom and experience and seasoning that you have on us. And again, brother, you are so welcome anytime, every Tuesday. But, well, I can't do every Tuesday because you know my schedule, my game day schedule. But whenever we're on the air, brother, you can chime in. You can also go to the archives and listen to the shows if you like. And, again, you are always, brother, most welcome to join us and offer, impart some of your wisdom and perspective in the Empowerment Zone.
Well, I appreciate
Thank you
it.
Ever so much.
I appreciate
brother.
It. Thank you. And I appreciate the open invitation. And believe me, I have a lot to, you know, to share, and I have a lot to express. And, you know, as a black man, you know, living, you know, not only in this great city I call Chicago, but in this country. I'm sorry?
I said our beloved Chicago. They don't know. Everybody outside Chicago, they don't know. They don't understand how special this place is.
Yeah, yeah. But it gets frustrating. But, you know, I'm at the point, I'm 59 years of age, and, you know, I'm at the point where, you know, I've always stood toe to toe, you know, with you know, my white brothers out there who felt that they were better or believe that they're better and would do anything to reinforce and let you know that they were better. My grandfather, my parents, you know, they always said, you know, no one's better than you. Always stand up for yourself and always speak up for yourself. And I've done that. And unfortunately, you know, white people don't want you getting out of line or speaking out your turn. And, you know, they do. We don't have the physical lynching going on today like we our ancestors had back in the day. But there's another form of lynching, which is in the corporate world, corporate lynching, you know, character assassination. And the one thing that white people know that they can do against us as black men and black people is put a label on us, a negative label on us, and based on the years
that's
of oppression and what we've experienced. Exactly, exactly. And once that label is on you, you could be as innocent as the day is long, but once that label is placed on you by a white man who is fearful of you, that label walks with you for the rest of your life unless you change it, you move forward, and you have people in the right spirit, the right heart to change it. And we just see what happened in the verdict, the four black gentlemen who were exonerated from, you know, the Groveland case that happened back in the early 1900s, where they were just exonerated from the, you know, the raping of the allegedly raping of the 17-year-old white girl. It took all this time for the truth to finally come out. But, you know, it's an evil tool that white men in particular use against black people, in particular black men, to keep their foot on our neck. But it's up to us to grab that foot, twist it, push it off, stand up, and walk erect. And that's my motto moving forward, brother.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. You know, a minute ago you mentioned the how we are on our actions, and I wanted to in the next segment I wanted to talk about I typically take a break at like 45 minutes after the hour into the show, but I'm going to keep it rolling. I'm going to take a break here soon, but I want to, before we go into the break, I wanted to discuss in the next segment, I wanted to tie in the justice and the contrast of justice and the perceptions and the prejudices. And what I mean by that is the difference between the Kyle Rittenhouse case, what's that fucker's name? George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case, and another case in the news recently with a young white male being sentenced to mere probation after raping, after having four rape victims. And I just want to point out and want some answers as to the contrast in these cases. And I want to bring in, with that said, I want to offer the Travis Scott concert tragedy in contrast to what happened in Altamont, California in 1969 with the Rolling Stones, with the Who concert in 1979, with several people dying and being trampled much the same way as happened at the Travis Scott concert in Houston a couple of weeks ago, and other concert and other events where people tragically, senselessly lost their lives. And I want to talk about that and how, you know, those artists seem to have flourished after those tragedies. The Rolling Stones have been around for, you know, 60 years now. The Who is still performing. And yet it's been said that this is a career ender for Travis Scott, that this brother is ruined. And there's currently 248 civil suits. That brother ain't got that much money. He don't have that money. He ain't got that kind of paper to pay the attorneys for 248 civil cases. What, are you going to meld them all into one and get some? No, it's not going to happen. This brother is ruined financially. His career is over. And yet white bands, such as the Rolling Stones, and yeah, I'm saying this, the Rolling Stones, the Who, and other bands, Pearl Jam, have gotten to flourish in spite of all the blood that was shed at their shows. And yet it's already been determined that Travis Scott is done. So with that said, we want to discuss that and a couple of other issues we want to discuss the parade massacre in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and the black man who's now been charged with 6 counts of murder, as well as a litany of other charges. So we'll be discussing that in the next segment. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I want to thank everyone that's joined us. Please stay tuned if you can. If not, thank you for joining us and imparting us with your perspective. It's really, really, really greatly appreciated. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be back shortly.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books in history books. But honestly, it ain't just black.
Peace. Welcome back. to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Welcome again, and thank you for everyone that's been listening online and everyone that's called in this evening. We greatly appreciate your patronage. We're going to continue to further discuss the subject matter tonight regarding the Kyle Rittenhouse case, the Ahmaud Arbery jury deliberation, as well as COVID in our community and a surge of violence and Trump's influence on the violence and division in America. And also, as a reminder, today is Tuesday. It's Blackout Tuesday here in the Empowerment Zone. Please, whatever you can do, please patronize black minority businesses today, as well as the day after Thanksgiving and the day after that. And just remember, the number is 381. That's how many days it took to impact the Montgomery Bus Company. And that effort started black-owned businesses such as livery services, daycare services, teaching, in-home teaching, things of that nature. So do not overlook the impact of what a boycott can do. So again, here in the Empowerment Zone, we recognize Blackout Tuesday. And Black Friday is now minority, black minority patronage day. With that said, I'm going to open up the mics. I see my man's been waiting patiently. Thank you for waiting, brother. 98.99. Welcome to the show, brother. Peace.
Peace, brother. How's everything?
Oh, man, it's all good, man. You got the best hand. It's good.
I wish. It would be nice to know. Couple of things real quick. Shout out to my brother, Melvin Seary Jr. He had some health issues, so hopefully he's on the other side of those now. But just thought she'd go out with him. He's a good brother.
No doubt, no doubt. I talked with him ever so briefly earlier. So, yeah, you know, he's feeling better than he was on Saturday.
Right. What I did want to, a couple of things you were talking about, I wanted to jump on real quick. First off, and I can handle this part really quick with the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. If anybody thought that that boy was going to do a day in jail the night that he got arrested, then they are not paying attention. If you watch the trial and you saw that judge acted, then you already know. You know, it was pretty much preordained how that was going to go. With the Ahmaud Arbery, they're pulling tricks now. Like I said, they're going for a mistrial. So that's pretty much the only way out for that, is a mistrial. But other than that, I don't know. America has a reckoning coming, period. It's coming whether they like it or not, whether you're ready or not.
Can you
so.
Shut my fucking door so we can go?
Like, see, that's that white privilege talking shit right
no,
there.
No, it's not. It's my car privilege.
Fucking see, this is why this is America, man. So, y'all don't mind that. That's what I'm don't go forward. Oh, no, you're good. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, the Ahmaud Arbery, the only way out is a mistrial, and they polluted that enough to make it happen. So, jury deliberating, any of that, those guys are probably not going to get the time they should get, or anything anyway. So. Everything's been polluted, you know. So right now, what I would suggest to everyone is pay attention and, you know, get ready, because I don't even know what to tell you to get ready for. But, you know, the last time that America had this big of an ideological, the ideology was so far apart, we wound up with a civil war. And that's where we're headed now, whether we want to believe that or not. So I would say get ready. I don't know how it's going to end, but get ready. That I'm going to yield, brother.
My man, thank you. Thank you ever so much. And, yeah, according to one premises of our show, preparedness. We're not prepared for the next level of shit that they're going to dump on us. And unfortunately, it's not going to be in favor of justice, as you said. These three men will not be, I don't know if they'll be exonerated or acquitted. However, I really think that they're going to receive something as minimal as possible to them. And the measure of justice will not be to the good. Let's just say that. Also, I want to ask you, really, brother, I want to ask you about this this surge. I mean, this surge of violence recently, and I know I prefaced it by saying with the onset of the pandemic, but I really want to know from where you stand, how you see it, and what's really promoting, why is everybody so angry, and why are they exhibiting this anger, and it's being exhibited, it's manifesting in such brutal violence, and particularly against women. Is it a measure of the powerful versus the meek?
Toyed with, lied to. Some now have been punctured, with this hole that they may have to carry a baby that they don't want to carry. Businesses are being told they got a mandate mask when they don't even want to do that, Republican or Democrat, It's a lot of shit that's happening that's confusing everything, and you can't, it's kind of like trying to cook a 5-course meal in a dirty kitchen. You know what I mean? And right now, America's a dirty kitchen, and it don't want to clean itself up. So until it makes, until America rights its wrongs, everything it does is going to probably have a pretty wrong result. Because right now, this country has been divided in the past, but it's pretty divided right now. And it's divided along political, economical, social, all racial kinds of shit. Here's the funny thing. We're all paying the same crazy amount for gas. We're all paying more for rent. We're all paying more to eat. We're all paying more just to survive. So why are we so fucking divided?
Right. We
you
should
know,
be
so
united.
We
should be united in the pushback. We have the power. It's the fact that we don't recognize or realize that we have the power to overtake this wickedness, yet we're still so numb. Our minds are so numb, and we've been so indoctrinated, and we're so we just don't want change, and like you said, everyone's so angry for a litany of reasons, and we're just.
If we took this over, we would be just as bad as the system that's in place now. It ain't about color. It's about power. Whoever's in charge is going
to
do what's... I don't see us being better stewards of America than white people or anybody else. What I see is we'd have a lack of humanity all the way across the fucking board. We're not going to take this over. They wired this shit up. You're not taking it over. They'll blow it up before they let somebody just take it. So that ain't happening.
Okay.
However, doesn't mean we can't do for ourselves in our own place and in our own way. That we can do, but we're not going to take over this. We're not going to run up on the Capitol. We're not going to – none of that's going to happen. Everything that they said that would make a difference didn't make a difference. We get a black president. That'll make a difference. My life was worse under him. So
our condition
that's not
was
true.
Worse under him. We saw many more extrajudicial killings under the Obama watch than we had ever seen. Added to the political structure at that time that was pitted against him, that made it bad for for Black America. So I agree 100%, brother. And the notion of us being united to overwhelm and overcome this wickedness is just that, a notion. But as far as coming together, and like Brother Ryle said about being responsible and accountable, we can get somewhere, but we gotta have some measure of unity in order to, and again, addressing the most pertinent issues first in order to reach the next plateau. And I want to let all the listeners, all the guests on waiting, the microphones are open. I should have said that, and I should have prefaced that when I opened up, rather when I started this segment. So your mics are open. If you would like to continue to contribute, please do. And just remember that we do practice the Robin's Rule of Order in the Empowerment Zone. And with that said, go for it.
If I could, brother, they need consistent unity. We have unity every time we have a wedding or a funeral. Anytime, you know, we have unity then, and then it ends at the end of the event. We need consistent unity that has a purpose, and not for everybody having their own little personal reasons why they're doing it, and then when they don't like something, they just run to the other side. It can't be like that, you know. That's not going to work for us. So once we can figure that out, though, yeah. Anything's possible, but I mean, right now, the anger that the country is feeling, it's pretty much around the world. I think people are just tired of being fucked with, and most people are sick of their fucking governments, you know, doing what they do. We learned a lot about what our governments don't know in the past 2 years and what they're not capable of. You know, we're in 2021. Why were we using tactics from 1921 to fight a pandemic in 2021? And they can't answer that. They just hate to say, you know what? The person I'm going to vote for, if I do vote, is the person who can honestly say when they don't know something that they don't know. That's the only person I can see being honest enough to vote for. Somebody, you know, I can't vote for somebody that's going to tell me, yeah, we're going to make everything great. We're going to do this, and then nothing's great. It's all fucked up. It's even worse. And the next guy got to come and lie about how he's going to fix it, you know?
Right. Yeah, don't hold your breath.
So, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, we are, as a society, we are so damn angry for a litany of reasons, and we don't know how to quell that anger, and then it's manifested in violence. I mean, utter violence, senseless violence, where people are driving through crowds, and I'm not just talking about Charlottesville, that was prior to the pandemic, but I'm talking about what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Excuse me, just 90 miles away from where I'm sitting right now, where this brother who had prior arrest for assault in two states, Wisconsin and Nevada. Had this brother been extradited to Nevada after he tried to run over his baby mama on November 2nd, had he been extradited to Nevada on an existing warrant for sexual assault on a minor, then those six people, four souls, would still be alive today. So just another example of evil and crazy and anger that's manifesting in our society, where innocent people are paying the price, and it's not right. And I got questions. I need answers, because from what I'm getting from mainstream mindfuck media isn't satisfactory. What the answers that I'm getting from the people in charge aren't satisfactory. And again, the system that we're paying into is fucking failing us. And people are senselessly dying because of the failure of the system. And I'm not, you know, in the empowerment zone, I don't play the blame game. And when there's blame to be handed out, it's appropriate. It's legit. And when the state fails its citizens, I'm going to call you out and hold you accountable, because you're certainly not going to hold yourself accountable. There's always an excuse for injustice. There's always an excuse to say the system, when they say the system, oh no, I'm sorry, when they say the system is imperfect. That's an excuse. And it's lame when there's blood involved, when there's trauma involved, and people have lost people senselessly. People have lost loved ones that they'll never see again senselessly because of your failure to do what you've been tasked to do. To do what to do as a public servant. So miss me with this bullshit excuse of the imperfection of the system. It works most of the time. Fight me. I'm angry. But I quell my anger by being solution oriented and focusing on tackling these issues that are largely ignored, like violence against women since the onset of the pandemic, brutality in the workplace, on the street, shootings on the highways of my beloved city, I-57, 290, the Dan Ryan. Three shootings in the last 2 days. People are angry. We need answers. We need to understand. We need to listen. We need to talk to people that have. We need to address mental health. We need to support minority businesses. So they can hire employees so they don't have to work so hard and die by the time they're 57 years old because they've been working 18 hours a day by themselves trying to support a business. These are the things that are important in our community. These are the things that are going to help us progress, move up to the next plateau. Empower ourselves, empower our community by answering these questions, by taking these necessary steps, by providing support, by patronizing ourselves. These are the things that we must do. We need to recognize our greatness. We need to stop judging each other, being so quick to condemn each other. We need to be quick to support each other. Again, you listen to the Empowerment Zone and the Panther Party Radio Network. All the information on this show, all the information provided on this show is for the upliftment of our community. There's a number of things that we've discussed on these airwaves over the last year and a half, and I can't tell you how much positive feedback that I've gotten. Please excuse me. There's so much positive feedback that I've gotten over the last 19 months now, I guess, where you know, people are actively doing something in their community. I remember on Election Day last year, we were out providing security, safe passage for seniors so they could go vote safely. Excuse me. So they, please excuse me. I've got a cough here. I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, we were providing security so the voters, so the seniors could have safe passage during the election. And a number of other services. I can't stress this enough. You want to be proactive. You want to be an activist. You want to be involved. Please excuse me. You want to make an impact in our community, in your community. Do something. Don't talk about it. Fucking be about it. Get up off your behind and help someone. It's real easy. And once you do it, it'll make you feel good. And we all need to feel good right about now because there's so much to feel bad about, so much shit out here to catch feelings about, to get caught up in your feelings about everything surrounding in your world, surrounding you in your world. Instead of sitting back complaining or posting stuff on Facebook about how upset you are, do something. Real simple. Make an impact. As minimal as you think your impact can be, you have no idea the power of volunteering. Or maybe you do, and you haven't done it in a while. Please, be compelled to help somebody, especially this time of year. Especially knowing the plight of our people, knowing the plight of people, knowing how much suffering there is, knowing how much need there is. Help somebody. You're not going to miss it. Do something for a stranger. Be kind. Have a good word for somebody, a stranger. And as I'm sitting here, I'm hearing 7 gunshots as we speak, unfortunately. I live in beloved Chirac. But again, I can't stress how important it is to volunteer to help someone. Instead of sitting back complaining about some shit, do something. And I mean that in no uncertain terms. Do I mean getting some kind of gratification and then posting what you did to help someone on Facebook? That's not the idea. Remain anonymous. Everybody don't know. Everybody doesn't need to know that you did something nice for someone. What's important is that you and the creator know. That's what's important. And the person that you were kind to, because then they're going to pay it forward when they get the opportunity. And that's all I'm asking. When you get the opportunity or make the opportunity, make the effort rather, when you get the opportunity, help someone, especially this time of year, when there's so much need. Please do that. And understand that here in the Empowerment Zone, we are solution-oriented, and we're here to help. All power to the people. And I mean that. In no uncertain terms do we neglect or underestimate the power of the people. Like Brother was saying, or Brother Kevin was saying, few minutes ago. Yeah, we're not going to run up on the Capitol or the White House, nothing like that. That's not going to solve anything. That kind of bloodshed or anarchy isn't going to change much. If anything, it's just a fucking suicide mission. And with that said, you know, if black people were to solely go up there and do a pull a dead prez moment, run up in the Capitol like they did on January 6th, I guarantee you, every municipality in this country that has black folks will get muscled. Everybody's a suspect. We don't need that. We don't need that kind of attention. Stay on the low. Do something constructive. Start a business. With the job market the way it is right now, and with them trying to further exploit the people, the best way to combat that is to start your own business. There's money out there for you to do so. And on the next installment of the Empowerment Zone, we will guide you to those monies so you can start your own business and to be self-sustained. And once you're self-sustained, then you can fucking help somebody else. And that's the whole point. That's what we do. If we're trying to addressing all the issues, all the pertinent issues in our nation, we have to address and overcome a litany of things. But one of the things that we must address first that has priority over many of the other pertinent issues, one thing that we have to address is, because we ain't going nowhere until that particular issue is addressed, is fully addressed, and people start getting treatment, proper treatment and medication and counseling. Please excuse me again. So again, with that said, we have to address those issues, and I want to really point out how important it is for us to not overlook that particular issue, because we have so many examples of people that are in jail, needlessly in jail because of mental health issues. We've got over 5 million homeless veterans that suffer from mental issues, mental illness, I should say, including levels of PTSD, sleep deprivation, again, a litany of things that they're suffering and have to be addressed. I'm seeing that, we've got about 20 minutes remaining, and I know that there's several things that I wanted to discuss tonight. And again, thank you for tuning in and chiming in. One of the things that I wanted to discuss tonight is the COVID surge in our community. One of the examples that I said I was going to use in the opening of the show was a recent New York Times article that says that this was striking to me, that black people account for more than half of those that have tested positive in Chicago alone. 72% of the COVID-related deaths, while making up less than a third of the population. In Illinois, black people account for 25% of those tested positive and 39% of the COVID-related deaths, while making up just 15% of the general population. That's staggering. That is a stark and staggering statistic. Let me give you another one. Here's example number two. In Michigan, black people account for 40% of the COVID-related deaths, yet just 14% of the population. In addition, according to the Louisiana Department of Health, in New Orleans, black people account for almost 60% of the COVID-related deaths, while making up less than a third of the population. That's devastating. Black people are dying of coronavirus at an alarming rate. That's about 2.5 to 3 times higher than other groups. That's indicative of the targeting of this virus. This is why I've been calling it a plandemic. Not a fucking pandemic, but a plandemic. This is part of the culling of the herd, the extermination of black people. What Margaret Sanger said in 1929, that black people were the weeds of society and must be eradicated. This is part of the plan. In California, African Americans are about 6% of the population, but 10.6% of COVID deaths in the state. The AMP Research Lab reports that the black community has experienced a COVID-19 mortality rate 3 times higher than the rate for Asians, 2.7 times higher than the rates for whites, and 2.5 times higher than the rate for Latinos. Currently, the national COVID mortality rate for black people is 23 deaths per 100,000 residents. In 6 states and the District of Columbia, mortality rates exceed the national rate. New York, 88 deaths per 100,000 residents. Michigan, 72 deaths per 100,000 citizens. Connecticut, 58 deaths per 100,000. Louisiana, 49%. This is strange. Connecticut, which hardly has any black people, 58 per 100,000. Louisiana, 49 per 100,000. New Jersey, 32 per 100,000. Illinois, 30 per 100,000. Washington, D.C., 27 per 100,000. There's not a whole lot of racial and ethnic data in every state, but clearly, black people are dying of coronavirus at an alarming rate. That's about 2.5 to 3 times higher than other groups. That's alarming. That doesn't send a red flag up in your fucking head. And regardless of the fact that you may or may not be vaccinated or have reservations about getting vaccinated, the statistics don't lie. The numbers don't lie. And you know who's making money? The government, the insurance companies, and the morticians. And unless you're in that business, you got nothing to gain. Now, I'm not saying that everyone should get vaccinated. That's your choice. That's your right. And for the government and for states to mandate vaccinations, I still say is unconstitutional, but they change the RIDS laws whatever suitable for them to prosper. Please excuse me. Gotta shake this cough. But I'm using these statistics as an example. As I said earlier in the opening of the show, I was going to use examples to explain how dire our situation is and how critical it is for us to come together, to fucking unite, to combat all these issues that we're bombarded with. When black people encounter the healthcare system, and I want to point this out. please excuse me. I want to point this out in order to seriously get through to you how important it is. When black people encounter the healthcare system, black patients often get unequal treatment. When doctors assess pain, for example, they underestimate and therefore undertreat black patients, partially due to a common misconception that black people have higher pain tolerance, which is bullshit. That harkens back to the the phrenology theory and practices. And the one doctor, his name escapes me now, that experimented with slaves that because black women would not cry or would show a lack of emotion when being cut, when being experimented on in medical, experiencing medical procedures, experimental medical procedures by this one particular doctor who was called the father of abortion. Spoke about this on the show last year, and for some reason I don't have those particular notes in front of me. His name escapes me, but this is all predicated on the notion that black people have a higher pain tolerance, which is absolute bullshit. According to this one study group at Cal Berkeley, black people make up just 6% of the population in California, but 30% of our state's homeless population. And the high risk of coronavirus amongst the homeless population is just that. Excuse me. Homeless people are at an increased risk of COVID-19. We see that a disproportionate number of black people experience homelessness, and many more are currently at risk for displacement due to several systemic inequalities. I know in California there's a plan to end homelessness. When I was in San Francisco in January, I saw so many tents, pretty much tent cities lined in on some of the streets up and down the hills that I was touring. And I see that, oh, my God, it was so disproportionate. Black people make up just 11% of the country, but 50% of the homeless population in Oakland, California. Oakland, African Americans make up a staggering 70% of the homeless population. 49% of America's homeless population, and yet there's only 11% black population. Black people make up just 6% of the population in California, but 30% of the state's homeless population. The nightmare continues. Large share of black-owned businesses with employees, 29% in total, are in healthcare and social assistance fashion. Black business owners are in the center of the fight against COVID-19 for several reasons. First, the median white family has nearly 10 times the amount of wealth as the median black family. This translates to our businesses having less reserves, both financial and operational, than other businesses. Not to mention the impact that negative perceptions of black majority neighborhoods held by consumers had on black businesses last year in 2020, those perceptions cost these businesses roughly $4 billion in revenue. That's some bullshit. COVID or no COVID, black-owned businesses suffer at the hand of underinvestment due to racial, socioeconomic factors. Nightmare continues. And the current pandemic exacerbates this reality, this stark reality. Black businesses and the professionals who work in them have faced the largest impact from social distancing precautions. The largest share of black-owned businesses with employees, 29% in total, are in the healthcare and social assistance professions. These firms account for $17 billion in annual revenue, which is the largest share of revenue generation for black-owned firms with paid employees. These organizations include frontline healers, social workers, essential workers, and economically vulnerable workers, the glue currently holding our nation together. $2.6 million black-owned businesses. 5 million have zero employees. I mentioned that earlier. That means that there's a lot. That means that a fraction what is that, 0.1% are working on, have employees. That means that 99.9% of those entrepreneurs work solo, burning the midnight oil, burning the candle at both ends to maintain their business, to build, to help build, to help the community thrive. So I'm using all these, y'all, as an example of what needs to be done, what has been done, and what's important to us. Again, I say we cannot overlook these issues that we face every day. We cannot continue to sit on our fucking hands and wait for us salvation. You got to get up and do something. Can't wait for a handout. You've been listening to this show. You've been following this show, man. You know that we believe in not a handout, but a hand up. Because a handout is fucking temporary. Teach a man to fish. Theory. You know what that means. So it's important that we address everything that's been discussed on these airwaves tonight. And again, I want to thank everyone, since we got only got a few more minutes remaining. Please excuse me for this cough that persists over the last couple of days. Deeply regret the interruptions, the constant interruptions. But again, I want to thank everyone that's joined us tonight on this platform, and thank you for imparting us with your perspective. All your comments, ideas, and solutions make a difference. And again, in the Empowerment Zone, we encourage everyone to just pay it forward, man. Do something. Be kind. Be respectful. Offer a kind word to someone. You know, if you see someone walking down the street or an elevator, or you know, you're driving down the street, roll down the window, you see they got a scowl on their face, you know, say something. Just use a kind word. Simply, good morning, good afternoon, how you doing? Have a good day. Something like that. You have no idea what kind of impact you can make with a simple, friendly greeting. Excuse me, doing something for somebody. Helping a homeless person. Arranging something. Volunteering. Arranging something for you know, again, you've been listening to the show. You know, I stress taking care of your family. Take care of your loved ones, the seniors, the babies that can't take care of themselves. Do something. It'll feel good to make a difference. It'll feel good to help right or wrong. Something real simple. It may seem insignificant to you, but it can mean the world to someone. When you take time out to give them attention that they may not be getting. Just help somebody. Be kind. Be respectful. Offer a kind word. Give a gift, whether it be monetary, something unexpected. Make somebody's day. Infectious when you do that. It doesn't have to be from a religious aspect. I'm talking from a human aspect, humanity. Just be kind, be humble, help somebody. Empower someone to some measure. Again, I want to thank everyone that's called in tonight and offered. Everyone that's contributed to the show tonight, greatly appreciate it. My brother Jerry Riles, brother Kevin, Professor Hassan, brother Jamal, thank you ever so much for contributing. And I look forward to speaking with you all on a more personal level over the phone. But Jerry, you know, you got my number, brother. You can hit me up anytime, and you're always welcome. Thank you again for joining us and imparting us with your wisdom. And again, I want to thank you, brother, for everything that you how you've influenced me in the radio business. It's a real big deal, and I can't thank you enough, man. Many blessings to your family, and you take care of yourself. And I'll see you out there at Stadium real soon. Hope to see you real soon, brother. I'll be at the United Center on Friday night. Maybe I'll see you sometime for the holidays. And God bless everyone. Be good to one another. Have a wonderful, safe, and healthy holiday. Again, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm Mark Higgins. Once again, please be safe. Stay as healthy as possible. All my drivers, all my servers, all my drivers out there on the road, be safe. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. Stay focused. All my servers out there, stay focused. Be kind. Be careful. You know, people are you dealing with people that are drinking and want their way and feel privileged. So just be careful. I know how you treat it. Sometimes you feel unappreciated. You know, I appreciate you. You know, I take care. I watch out for all my people. So just know that I support you 100% and get your paper. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Once again, people, be good to each other. Be kind. Help someone. And take care of the people that can't take care of themselves. Pay particular attention to the seniors and the babies. God save the babies. God save us all. All power to the people. Love you all. Please forgive me for the long delay, but I would be remiss if I ended this broadcast. I feel so bad. Before I end this broadcast, I want to give a shout out. I know I said earlier in the broadcast, rest in peace, rest in apology. All the souls we lost this week to senseless violence and other issues, but I'd be remiss if I did not give a shout out and to my homeboy, really good friend that I've known for so long, Brother Carl Phillips, who we lost a few days ago. I also want to give a shout out and blessings to and Nathan families who lost their dear brother and son, Delmar, a few days ago. And again, peace. Our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone. Peace for peace, comfort, and healing in this trying time of loss and tragedy. Again, I wanted to offer that before the end of the show. Sorry for not mentioning them in the beginning when I mentioned all the lost souls earlier, but again, you are sorely missed, Brother Carl, Brother Delmar. Really, really miss you, brothers. And I'm not looking forward to attending either of you all's services, but I know I must, and to give my deepest condolences to both of your families. Again, you've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Once again, please be kind. As Mavis Staples says, you got to serve somebody sometime. So be of service. Be of good service to someone. Peace. All power to the people. Good night, beloved.
there's a fine line.
There's a fine line between love and hate. She can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate. She can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think to see. That liberation, and baby, I want it. Can't worry about what another nigga think. Now that's liberation, and baby, I want it.
Let me hear it, let me hear it, let me hear it over.
How many times I sit back and contemplate, a fresh off the tank when I'm telling my story. Relationship with my folks is give and take, and I done took so much, not giving my glory. To have a choice to be who you want to be is left over to me, and yeah, my mama them told me. I say I have a choice to be who you want to be is left over to me, and yeah, my mama them told me.
Hard to refrain from the host of cocaine, from them whores, from the flame. from a post in the game. Makes it hard to maintain focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials. The seeds that sowed get devoured by the same locust. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall. And the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now I voice their cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten. Flames dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you foster dreaded. Melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gonna get it started? We be the lion-hearted, without infanticide. It's like that red sprite, you can't imagine. Unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes. Getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel. Packing steel, picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers. You a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tell between your legs. Throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping, Libertad, Libertad.